not struggle with culture, it's innate, it just comes. Culture starts with one person. The culture doesn't exist before the employment. If your employees are doing well, your organization will naturally do well.
Hi guys, good day and welcome to another episode on the African Brand Academy podcast. Today I'll be talking with Ijiro Apobeme, and someone I consider a certified instructor in African Brand Academy. If you're new to the podcast, if you're not new, he's someone that I spoke with for most of the episodes in season one, and I had to bring him back because every chat with him is always valuable, and I didn't want you guys to miss out on that, especially for our new listeners. So if you're new to the podcast, Ijiro is a passionate entrepreneur and brand developer. He's the founder of Simply Branded and Bedu Plus, author of best-selling ebook titled In Between the Lines, which is a critical thinking in business. He's also a business coach, mentor, and public speaker on entrepreneurship, value creation, brand sustainability, and storytelling. He has helped many businesses scale from micro to macro within and outside Nigeria with his straightforward approach to solving complex business problems. And his goal is to create sustainable value in businesses and legacy brand. Welcome back, Ijiro. It's good to have you here once more. All right. So, but we would love to know, or personally, I would love to know, behind all the suits and everything, who are you when you're not in work mode?
When I'm not in work mode, I'm a cartoon guy. I just watch cartoon and comedy.
You watch cartoon? Is it cartoon or anime? Which one?
Any of them. Something that's not human. Just watch and enjoy yourself.
So, like, immediately you're back from work, the straight thing is cartoon. Yeah. Like, just that's your own chill out spot.
Yeah, cartoon, anime, just relax, eat, watch comedy.
Okay, that's nice. Today we'll be having a quick chat on how to improve performance and productivity in your company, whether remote or physical. I mean, you know, most of their staffs are working remotely, but how do we increase productivity? The reason I wanted this conversation was because a client of mine was like, they are working every day, they are coming to work every day and everything. It's a new company, but then the productivity he wants, he's not seeing it, you know? So he's like, is there any way I can increase productivity? I mean, can I make my team work more in less hours? Do you like it being remote, or do you like your team on site?
Whichever one works.
Whichever one works. Is your team remote now?
My team is remote, like very much remote right now.
How will you rate your productivity, like 1 to 10?
I'll rate it at 7 currently.
What do you think you can improve?
Basically, the only downturn to remote working is time.
Mm-hmm. Time, in what sense?
You're not hands-on to monitor your staff's time management compared to a real working condition where you sanction your staffs to be in the office from 8 to 5. And you must see them doing something because they have to give you reports during the day, after the day, and possibly prepare for the weekly report. Okay. Now, if it's remote, some people may not even be very active some days. Mm. But when it gets close to the end of the week to give reports, they may just spend an entire day to try to muzzle up everything they think they can do from Monday to Thursday just to go to work on Friday. So it's a different ball game. But if you're a very good CEO, you should be able to manage those excesses and get the best out of your employees.
Because I had this issue with a designer. So I was like, okay, I need a designer, but I don't need one side. So I didn't mind hiring from under state. And then it was bizarre. I think it wasn't my first time having staff remote, but he was one staff that I said, okay, you can work from remote or whatever. And then every day it was as if he works today, tomorrow there's going to be an excuse. So sometimes I don't feel it's only the CEO problem. I feel sometimes it's staff, because this guy was literally giving me excuses upon excuses. He's giving 5 days to work, or even four, Seth. I didn't do five. And you know, the way this job is, you need something urgently, not something that, okay, this is your task for the week, just get it done, Abby. So when it comes to designers, this is something that a brief came in or something that needs to be worked on immediately, and then there's this whole excuse, and they try to even use the idea of light out and everything. But during the interview, you said, I have stable light, I have this, I have that. It has to just enter firing. I didn't even have to think about it, because it didn't stop. The excuse didn't stop. So what are some like strategies or tactics that you put in your company to help you monitor and get the best out of them?
Okay, I'm actually going to be coming from a different perspective when it comes to this aspect.
Okay.
Basically, my design, like my own area of expertise in business, is sustainability,
yeah.
right? And legacy brands, meaning your company should work almost in your absence. So if I have an ideology that my company should work in my absence, then that means I can also validate the fact that I don't necessarily have to monitor them, but they are doing what they should do. Now,
so is it like you train them or what, or their policies in place?
Yeah, from that premise now, where I actually work from is building a system in the organization or a set of people or a culture that can allow your employee assume their role as the owner, not as a staff.
Okay, that makes sense.
We're in a generation, a dispensation, where people are looking for better opportunities every day. Now, I did a recruitment process for a particular organization, and one of the core questions I asked almost every single applicant was, how does your personal life goals align with the company goals and you working in this particular organization? You see, most times, even recently, a young lady contacted me recently here in Abuja, and she told me she was looking for a staff. Now, someone reached out to me and said she needs a job. I don't know the person that reached out to me from anywhere. So I just sent the contact, linked the both of them up. Then the lady came back to my DM to ask me if I know her personally. I was like, I don't need to know her personal employer, because if she's good for the job, we do it. So she told me that her CV is not up to standard as she expects. So I asked her a question: are you employing the paper or are you employing the person?
Are you employing what she has done or what she can do?
Exactly. You have to define those things properly. So after I spoke with her, she was like, okay, she's gonna have to work on an interview process. That's why most interview process, you have the first stage where you look at your CV, then you have practical approach, you have the interaction section, then other little things you have to do throughout the process just to make sure you get the best person for the job. Trust me, some persons with a very good CV cannot even produce what you're expecting them to produce. It's just paperwork. So when it comes to things like this, based on what I do as creating legacy brands and sustainability, the system I create is such a way that when the employee comes on board, right, I don't give them too much rules and regulation or too much restrictions. I open them up to growth. Because when you're coming in, I already know that, okay, this person I'm employing, I have a future in this path. So we are heading almost towards the same direction. It's like hiring someone that doesn't want to be a medical personnel in an hospital environment. The person is not going to stay. The person won't actually give in all to be there.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a passing time. Like, okay, let me just stay for a while. Take, for example, a cleaner in an hospital. They don't have a career as a medical doctor, as a nurse. They could get better opportunities tomorrow and they leave. But if you get someone that is thinking of going to a nursing school, who eventually becomes a cleaner in that particular place, the person tends to get closer to the nurses or the doctors, even as a cleaner, and can possibly start learning one or two things practically before the school and come back into the industry and become something great. So when a cleaner in an organization is functioning as a nurse, then you should know that cleaner is fit for the organization. You know, it's possible a cleaner is in the hospital, functions as a nurse. For example, she's cleaning as someone something that she knows she can deliver. She just covers up, like, okay, even if it's just to get the medications from one or two places or to call the doctor for something, she knows who to call and what to call, even as a cleaner.
Yes.
These are part of some little things that makes an organizational employment system functional. So you don't have to be there. It's just a model or a system that have to deliberately inculcate as a culture for anybody that's coming in. Now, this is where there's a problem. The culture doesn't exist before the employment.
Okay.
So when they employ these guys on board, they start trying to give them rules and regulations, not a culture. Culture is in it. Don't struggle with culture. It's in it. It just comes. You want to speak your tribe. You don't think about what you want to say. You just say it and it works.
Are you serious?
But if it's a rule and regulation, if it's rules and regulation, you have to think of the, if I do this, this is not going to happen. If I don't do that, that should not be. So they are careful not to make mistakes. They are careful not to offend the boss or the CEO. They are careful to preserve their jobs. So these guys function on a status quo. It is what you tell them they do, so they wait for you, even if they have an innovative idea. So in doing that, the productivity that you're expecting would not come out as much as it should, because the performance is being affected by a very fundamental issue. So once that is affected, these employees tend to struggle to become their best, even if they are looking at have a career in that particular path. Take for example, I was talking with someone, I think that was 2 days ago, and she was telling me something about going into career full time. So I asked her, career like career or career of something else? She was like, a 9-to-5 career full time. I was like, okay, so why did you make that decision? She was like, she just discovered that she is good with administration and office setting. Like, she's comfortable. She doesn't have any problem with it. Someone like me, I cannot be in that kind of environment.
Why? But you walk around the clock.
Exactly. I went to a particular organization at a time, and I told them I needed a job. I submitted my CV, did the interview and everything. So during the interaction period, like the interaction stage of the interview, we got talking. While we were talking, the HR was very sensitive, like really sensitive, and I applaud her for that. She just told me outright, you won't stay here for long. I was like, very correct. I'm just here temporarily. I told her very well, you're very correct. Because my goal there was just to learn something about that particular industry. I came there for a reason. That's why before an employer takes in an employee, he or she must try to identify the exact reason why you want to work in that organization. It's not for the money. If it's for the money, sorry, I can't employ you. If it's for the experience, I can, okay, come in. You can take an experience 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and you go. But during that experience period, I should be able to also benefit from you. So it's a give in and give out thing. Everybody's, every chain is supplying to make the work smooth.
So were you, did you get the job?
No, I did not. Oh. She was very plain. Like, she told me that she wanted someone that's going to stay. Like, stay and grow with them.
But do you think that is supposed to be a necessity in hiring?
Actually, depending on the organizational goals and their objectives. There are some organizations that you cannot just bring in someone to live in 3 years or 5 years. It's going to affect the entire system. For example, you are in a tech industry, right? And then you're developing an application. I had someone that started with you, like a startup. And then this person is the core foundation of the application. He understands the management, the principles, how the application should work, the innovative idea in 10 years' time of that application, because it was at the beginning. Now, if that person wakes up one day after 3 years and tell you he's leaving, you have issues.
Yes, like it's almost as if you're starting over again. But that's why there's documentation.
But even at that, such a person must have a sense of integration. Like, this company is not a passing by. This is my company. That is the word, my company. Like, whoever your employee must take it as my organization, not I am working there. It's a different statement. This is my office. It's not like I am working there. It's a different statement. It communicates differently. It resonates differently. If you walk into an office and the staffs are reacting or responding in such a way that what you are communicating is an ideal of the fact that I'm just here doing my job, you don't actually have any employee. But if you meet with employees in an organization that have the mindset of, even if the manager or the CEO is not around, I can solve your problem.
But how do you know? How do you build this culture or build this mindset, imbibe this mindset in your company? You said something about it just there, but like, I think it's a conscious effort or something.
It's actually subconscious. It's actually subconscious. Now, this is where human psychology comes in. All right. I think I was teaching something like this, I think late last year, and I mentioned something to those guys that any business you start is a fragment of who you are as a person.
Okay.
What you don't show, like what you don't exhibit, it doesn't spill around, like it doesn't flow around. If I walk into an office as a CEO and I'm the kind of boss that I am jovial, I play with my staff, I communicate with them, I want to be involved in their personal welfare. That office tends to be a very happy office.
Yes, it tends to be a friendly environment normally.
It's going to reduce tension, it will increase teamwork, and a lot of things will just go very smooth and fast. And they will not see you as a boss, they will see you as a friend. And you as a CEO, you also know how to cut the line of when we are serious with getting job done and when we are just trying to cash crunch. But if you're the kind of boss that comes in and you are all serious with because of the position and you just want to make sure everybody knows that I am the boss, you have a problem. Because nobody wants to be ruled over.
I've seen companies, they'll put it among their value, friendly environment and everything. But you walk into the company and you're like, there's nothing friendly about this. But they want to imbibe it. You know, we are friendly and this is supposed to be friends, check up on one another. But then there's no checkup. Nobody has the strength for that. So I think, like you said, this is actually supposed to be subconscious. Like, everybody you hire has to be, have that jovial attitude. It's supposed to work around all the systems of the office. Those values.
Yes. And if it's going to work that way, it has to stem from the management, like from the founder, the CEO, the managers, the supervisors. Then it flows down. It starts from the top down. Culture starts with one person. So it is that one person's culture that spreads. If you give birth to a child in a family, an Igbo-speaking family, for example, the child is not going to grow up to speak French. And the child will not even know when he or she starts understanding and speaking the Igbo in the house without being taught. There's no primary teaching. You just subconsciously just start speaking. You subconsciously start understanding. There's no active learning. It's a passive learning. So if you cannot actually passively transfer the spirit of your business to your staffs, you are already a problem. So that's why most times, I always tell most startups that I talk to, when they have an idea and they just come to me, I have this idea, I want to start an O. The first thing I ask them is, can you transfer your spirit? That's the first thing I ask them. Because my goal in business is sustainability. Mine is sustainability, legacy brand. If you can, then you have to learn how to trust people already. Allow them to make their mistakes.
But the thing there is, what if, like most tech founders, to be honest, they don't know how to communicate effectively with human beings. Just try about them.
Okay.
So what if, as a founder, I am not the kind of person that actually know how to communicate well with my staffs, right?
Okay.
And I want communication to be a key value or a key thing in my company, but it's not something that I'm ready, that I already have. How do I now incorporate it that is subconscious and it flows?
You hire someone that can read you and interpret you.
CEO.
Yes, exactly. The CEO. Okay, take for example, there's a company I consult for in Benin. Yeah? The founder of the organization does not have the time to talk to his staffs when something is going wrong. He just sits and watches them. When he gets very irritated with the wrongdoings, he just sacks everybody. When I came on board and I discovered the other thing, I was like, okay, this was going to happen. You leave the talking, you leave the building, the personality development to me. You just sit back. So I do that consistently. I just chit-chat with the staffs, offer what's going on. Hope you guys are good. Have you eaten? You know, stuff like that. I don't just jump on them with, is the work done? So that way, guys become friends. From there, they trust you. From there, they can tell you things. They can make you understand how the work really is going, not just a report.
Yes.
Anybody can do a report.
I relate deeply with that because even as a contract HR, most of the people I bring on board, they talk with me, to go and even talk to the management. Like, I'm only there for a short while, but as if even anytime I come back, even to just to visit or anything, they're like, hey, I'm trying to come. It's like, wait, but is there no a standing HR advisor that people can talk to? Like, no, it's you that we know, it's you that we can talk to. So most times, the people you're hiring for this management level, they can actually break your company because they're not even on talking terms with the staffs.
And that's because they are all, permit me to use the word, they are all egocentric with position.
Yes.
You're not in power or in a higher level of management to oppress people with position or name or title. It's a team. From the founder to the cleaner, they are all a team member. Every chain must apply.
Yeah.
The first chain in a chain link is not more important than the last one. It's not. That's how I see it in management. That's how I see it in business. Because if the first one is not there, there's another one. If the other one is not, there's another. And it keeps going.
Yeah.
But the bad part is, it should not be broken at the middle. And now, who is at the middle of any organization is the employees that are the middle. Because at the beginning, you have the management. At the end, you have the consumers of the chain. Your employees, your staffs, they are the one holding the middle. So why won't you do what you need to do to ensure the middle is not broken? Because you can never get your customers by the middle. When customers come into an organization, they don't see you, they see your employees. The expression your employees give out, the energy they give, communicates what the company is, not the service they give.
Yes.
It's the energy that communicates what the company is. Yes. It's the energy, it's not the service.
So
your service could be good, but the energy is bad.
Yeah.
It's only going to take a short while before people stop coming to you, even if you have a good service. People want to be comfortable around people. Take for example, I was opportunity to walk a particular young lady to a salon. So as we are going, we passed some other very exotic, like very classy salon. And I was like, why won't you just enter here and make your head there? Like, why? Why are you stressing walking on the way down? She was like, I would not understand. Only for us to get to the place eventually. The place looks like a very small store. Ah. I was like, what are you doing here? Can these guys do it? You're looking for. They're like, this is where I want to do my own. Okay, enter. So I sat down at the entrance where she went inside. Then I was just observing the entire operations in the place. While I was observing, I discovered that right there, the minute they came in, there was this vibe energy, this communication, talking about family, talking about business, talking about why the air was going on. And before we know, we didn't even know we had spent close to 4 hours on one air. while the chat was going on.
Oh my goodness.
But compared to some other very exotic, classy place, you just walk in, everybody is just strict, facing their business. Turn by turn, you just go, you just sit down.
There's no conversation going, nothing.
So it's that energy, that vibe, that I belong to this place, I'm in this place, that sense of belonging. Yeah. Everybody is seeking a sense of belonging. If you study the, what's it called now? Maslow's hierarchy of needs theory. It's a theory, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
We all start from the basic stuff of basic necessities, like food, shelter. As the cone grows up to the tiny part, we begin to look for a sense of belonging, a sense of what we can associate ourselves with. That is why if you observe, when people start growing old, they start looking for people to come around them. They try to create focus group communities for the old people. They try to keep them in family settings so that their sense of belonging doesn't just disappear from them and they go into isolation and die earlier than they should. It's a psychological treatment.
Wow.
Yes. So they always look for that sense of belonging.
Yeah, when you come into an organization to improve this performance and company culture, do you start, for instance, I'm not talking about a small business now, I'm talking about like a big organization that has some structure in place and hierarchy.
Okay.
Do you start from the ground up, in the sense you start from the low management up, or you start from the higher level management down to the employees and staffs and everything? Where do you start building this culture and improve the performance?
I start from the founder.
You start from the highest.
Yes, the founder.
Mm. So it has to come from up down, right?
Yes, it's up down. You know, this thing, this is a principle of the anointing oil. The oil, anointing, not oil, flows down up. It flows up down.
Mm.
If you pour the anointing oil, it must come from up all the way down. As it goes down up. So if you're starting from the down,
sounds nice. Wow.
Error at the top will still come back to affect the one down, even if you correct the one under.
Affect, yes.
And there's no point.
Wow.
I can't come to an organization and start scolding staff. If I walk into your organization, yes, if you tell me my staffs are misbehaving, I want you to help me do management training, personnel management training, when I come, I don't come to the organization to start scolding your staffs or start telling them you guys are not functioning well, you should be able to keep to time, come to office early and those things. I don't do that. So in as much as I'm not doing that, I try as much as possible to ensure those guys that are up there, I start from them. The staffs are, I call them effects. They are the products of whatever you are. So I come back to you. You are the top. What have you told them? What do you do?
Yeah.
People copy people. Take for example, I walk into an organization and I'm very excited. And I want to, when I come to the office in the morning, I greet everybody. I play with everybody. And I discover that I'm the only one doing that. After 2 months, that officer will stop.
You stop.
Yes, you because every other person comes to the office and mind their business. So why are you not minding your business? It's an energy. You cannot avoid it. So I don't come and start with the staff. I will not come in and scold your staffs. No, I won't do that. I will come in and go to the management board. We'll first have a management board meeting and I will address every single person. You have to tell me what you are doing wrong, not what you are doing right.
In terms of the performance part, is it only through memos and to-dos, week to-dos and stuff like that you can use to measure and track the performance of your team or organization?
Performance is beyond task.
Okay.
I think that's one thing most organizations should understand. Results, like the results you get, does not imply maximum performance.
Please explain.
You could have a target of producing, let's assume you're a drink producing company, soda for example.
Yeah.
You could have a target of producing 500 soda drinks every day, right? Then you have a sales team or a marketing team that's expected to sell a total of, let's just say 2,000 drinks weekly. For example, these guys produce 500 every day, right? And they sell the 2,000 weekly or whatever target they sell weekly, right? Now, do you also know that the consistent use of a thing automatically leads to a diminishing return? Yeah, when you buy a new phone, from the day you turn it on and start using it, the phone starts dying. The same thing with your employees. From the day you bring them on board and you start using them, they are meeting targets, but they are dying. Is that productivity? Because after a while, the company itself is going to feed the debt.
How do you have the balance?
Good. The balance comes in this way. Productivity should not be measured just based on task and goal setting.
Okay.
I believe productivity, the best of productivity, should be scaled from employees' personality or employees' growth level.
The employees' growth level, I like that.
If your employees grow, if your employees improve, if your employees are doing well, your organization will naturally do well. So we focus on the output, we don't focus on the input.
I like that.
So you just
keep focusing on what are you doing and then not how is this, how are my staffs doing, how are they okay, are they resting or something.
You wake up in January, we have a meeting for the company, has a meeting, the company have a meeting in January, and then you begin to tell everybody our target for this year, by the end of this year the annual returns of $7 million at the end of the year. You have to meet up with this, meet up with that, this person has been promoted to this position, that person has been demoted to that position, this person has new benefit, and you do all of those things, but you don't ask one question, the how are you question. Nobody asks the how are you question. Now, these staffs in question that I'm talking about, this performance I'm talking about, if you are able to ensure that your staffs are growing with your organization, that's where you're safe when it comes to measuring performance. It's not the task they do. I keep telling people, it's not the task. Anybody can do the task. You can even hire a contract staff and get the task done. You don't have to pay a full-time staff.
Mm.
So why are you putting in a full-time staff if you don't have the plan of improving their lifestyle or their life standard? People now are looking for better quality of life.
Yeah.
Not just a standard of living. It's possible for people to have a good standard of living. They have a car, they have a house, they have a good wife, they have kids, they can pay the bills good. But they are looking for a better quality of life. And quality of life have to do with association. The people around you are concerned are they about your lifestyle or your well-being. That's quality of life. That's why most people are avoiding environments of working that have a very bad energy lately. Because now in the recent one I've been hearing everywhere is mental health. It's my mental health. I'm hearing it lately. People are looking for where their mental health will not be stressed. You don't measure performance with the task you have. No.
Mm.
You measure your performance with the product, with the improvement of your employees.
Of your employees. Okay.
Yes.
I like that. Okay, before we go, I have one more question for you. And that is, how does your own company address or how do they prevent burnout or other factors that can negatively impact productivity and performance?
Okay. I'm just going to use my own organization for a prototype now. We work remotely for now.
Yeah.
In as much as we are working remotely, it's something that we have to be in constant communication, right?
Okay.
Because it's a remote thing. But surprisingly, we are not in constant communication. Why? Because at the early stage of the company, we had all the constant communication thing. The culture was well disseminated from me. Like I said earlier, I am the founder. I have where I'm looking at the company to be. I'm the visionary. So I have a particular prototype in my mind of how the organization should be. In my mind, how the organization should be years from now is such a way that when people come in as employees or you're working with us, right, there's space for you to grow. And when you are growing to a particular level, you should also go out and become a founder and spread also so that we can reach out to more people. So I become a grandfather of many subdivisions of people that have grown from me, not putting all of you in one box because I want to blow up. So this is a culture I've spread, I've disseminated already. They understand it. So there's already a sense of ownership. So we may have a meeting once in 2 months, once in 3 months, 2 hours meeting, 3 hours meeting, 4 hours meeting, once in 2 months. When we are done, we discuss everything we discuss, and everybody goes to work. Unless there are special conditions where something that we thought would actually go that way was going the other way, then we just call for an emergency meeting just to address it and get it back on track. So if you're working like that, avoid irrelevant meetings. It burns time, it burns energy.
Yes, that's number one.
So meetings are just not necessary
at all.
You just feel like talking, you just want to talk, or you just want to cash cruise, look for a cinema, just go make new friend, talk to the person. I'm serious, not those employees, those guys have a lot they are doing already.
They have a lot they are doing, yes.
Minus your 9-to-5 commitment they already have, they have a personal life, they have a family life, they have other things they should focus on. So you cannot just think their life should be all about you because you are giving them something that I don't think will even make them a billionaire.
At all, it won't. That's why they keep being there day in, day out.
And you know the funny part? I don't know why it's common that most employers don't seek the growth of their employees above them. If I have an employee and my employee is doing better than me, I'm happy. If I employ you and I know more than you, I will sack you.
Why? Yeah, because you need people that know more than you sometimes.
Yeah, are better than me. I will only have an idea of what you are saying, but I will not be able to be as professional as you will.
Yes, definitely.
So
definitely.
If you come to my organization and when we are in the meeting discussing, we are trying to get things done, and you are just there, I'm the one talking, you are just following instructions, Uncle, you are gone. You cannot be with me, it's not possible. know better than me, do better than me. So that will not put me as a CEO or as a founder on my feet. That yes, I have to consistently upgrade myself. I have to consistently think more than these guys. I have to move, I have to spread. That is why when there's an ownership mentality, you will have enough time to spread. So in as much as you have enough time to spread, you will be able to release your staffs or your management or your employees to take ownership and do what they have to do. Take, for example, Tony Elumelu Foundation. I think I posted something concerning it recently. They just changed their CEO again.
Why?
I think that was 4 or 5 days ago. There's a new CEO now. The previous one retired.
Was he old or what?
No, I don't know. I don't know how their model of retirement or whatever. But there's a new CEO now. Tony Elumelu is still the founder.
Yes.
But there was a time... There was a time Tole Lumelo was both his founder and the CEO. Now he has grown. He has allowed ownership to take place. He has withdrawn through other things. But trusted people that already have the company at heart and understand the company culture and system and do the other things and do operations. A lady, a new CEO, she's a lady. It's a fresh mind. It's a fresh idea. So when this person comes on board, you discover that new things will just start happening. And the company is still moving in a very smooth direction. But you want to be CEO for life. You want to be founder for life.
That's true.
Even as a founder, there's a place you grow to as a founder that you open up space for people to co-found with you. That's where you now have some partners that will come in.
They'll come in, as you grow.
You get. So it gets to that point. You also have to open up. If not, you cannot grow. You cannot expand. But the first step is to make sure that whoever you've put on your employment board for productivity, for high performance, already have a sense of ownership and you can trust them regardless. These are people. Respect people as people, not treating people as things. And you know, this is the major reason because of this thing that we are discussing now. I saw a post that was yesterday or 2 days ago of the first ever robot lawyer.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That robot lawyer is going to be going to court by February to defend someone. So it dawned on me that the management model is actually very wicked and very instrumental. So they've discovered that they cannot use people to that extent. So they want to eliminate people from the equation and make everything automated.
Automated.
So if you are a privileged person to have people working with you, then give them the leverage of being people, not things.
Not things.
So that's how it works. That's how the business. So that's how performance increases. That's how productivity increases. Because if I'm in an organization that is beneficial to me, naturally, I will do everything I can to sustain it, even without being told.
Yeah. My notes are filled up already. Okay. Before we go, I would love to hear about this, your new project that is coming up, Business Corner.
Okay.
Because I feel we don't have much time to talk about the whole of this, but so that gives an avenue for more of this improvement in performance and productivity. Give us an insight on what it is and how it works.
Okay, Business Corner is an initiative that came up, I think that was last year. It just came to my mind last year, I think 2 weeks into the end of the year. Because I discovered that towards the end of the year, a lot of companies were doing reviews, doing analysis, making plans and all. So I was like, I just asked myself a very generic question. Why do people make plans every year for their business? Like, really? It's like a culture. And by the end of the year, the plan almost does not work. Like, by the end of the year,
it gives a roadmap.
Yeah, you are just working, but it's not like it's actually working. You're just like, let's just keep doing something. Now, I also got to understand that no matter how sharp a particular arrow is, if the archer doesn't, like, shoot it, it will not pierce anything. Even if the bullet is a very strong bullet, if it's not shot by the gun, it cannot kill anything. It will just... So Business Corner basically is not a program, it's not a project, it's a community.
Okay.
It's a community, and it's a community where people that have decision-making power in an organization can come into, like founders, CEO, managers, executives, people like that, or you're an entrepreneur, you are the one that can make a decision in your company. Basically, those are the kind of people I actually want in that community, not people that are doing freelancing temporarily.
So are they coming to learn? Or they are coming to what?
Okay, we are all coming to learn as well as to connect with each other. Most industries now have been so decentralized that they are in constant competition. Instead of competing, the truth is nobody is competing with you. You just think they are competing with you. Everybody's minding their business. That's the truth. Everybody have their problems. Every company have their problems. So in your mind, you feel they are competing with you. Nobody's competing with you, uncle. Just do your work. Your customers will come to you if they want to. So it's a community, basically. And the community is to bring these guys in, and help them understand how business should work. Develop strategies from time to time. So let's assume you are in your normal business operations, for example, and you hit a Waterloo or you hit a challenge. You can easily run back into the community and just drop a message. Hey, what's up? I'm trying to figure this out and on and on. Another founder in another organization that is in your industry can just give you a solution. Or if I'm there, I could say, okay, do this, do that. We test. And other founders, other people that are there can also learn and grow. Because I want a situation whereby the way of doing business is rotated. I was studying the Western system and I discovered that these guys are in constant collaboration, which is one thing Africa lacks. Outside there, they're in constant collaboration. Look at Domino's and there was a Cold Stone. They can never separate. Anywhere you see a Domino's pizza, you see a Cold Stone.
You see Cold Stone. But I don't understand. Market Square and Kilimanjaro are doing the same thing now.
Yes. Yes, they are. It's something that some people don't understand when it comes to business. So I want to use this community to reduce the level at which people think they are competing with each other. Because there's a lot to learn from your neighbor. There's a lot to learn from the next person. So stop looking at that person like you are taking my customers. No. Sit down and learn. So it's a community where we all can learn from each other. I'm not going to be the only one talking there. People are going to share their experiences, how they grew from getting 100,000 total revenue in a year to 1 million. So you see the process, but it's in your industry. So you can ask questions to the person, okay, why doing this? I'm currently at this point in my business growth. What do you think I can do? And the person could actually give you a heads up. And so it gives room for open mentorship. You have access to resources. So if I know of an information that let's take, for example, a particular wave is going to be happening in 2025, for example, and I happen to have gotten the information on that industry, I could actually come there and say it. Now let's assume there are only 5 people in fashion industry, for example, in that community. Those 5 people will be prepared for 2025. I don't know if you understand. So it's an open source. It's an open source, but then it's not free. It's not free.
And it's online, right? It's an online community. It's a virtual community.
But the goal is, every year, there's going to be an annual convention that's going to be live.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Every year.
That's nice.
Every year. But then it's going to be
virtual. I haven't kicked in yet, so that's why I'm asking so much questions. Because I don't know. Is this for us? Is this for me? What is it like? So it's more like collaborate, grow, learn, get mentorship and guidance, right?
Yeah, a whole lot of it, yeah. So it's a monthly subscription of $7,500.
So how much is that in dollars? That's about $10, right?
Yeah, around $10.
$10 monthly plan. $10 monthly plan. That is $10 to $12 monthly plan, and then you're in.
Wow. You just come and you stay. So every month you just renew your subscription and you're good to go.
I'm going to drop a link into that in the description so that we can tap in. You can get to learn more. You can be able to start. It's a long-term thing, so it's not something that, okay, after 2 months, nobody's talking to you or something. And you get to have a chat with Dejiro, right? Anytime you want, whatever is going on, just hit him up. I mean, he's really trusted, and I'm in love with Dejiro for his reviews. His reviews always give me that kick. I'm like, Papa is working. Papa is working. Oh my goodness, it's so good to have you here today. I'm really grateful. Thank you so much for dropping by. And to all of our listeners, I want to say a very big thank you for tuning in and being a part of the community. So keep grinding, keep pushing, keep growing your brand. As always, we'll be here with you at every step of the way. Make sure to join our communities on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, review us on your favorite podcast platform. If you have a question pertaining to branding or business development, you can email us at africanbrandacademy@gmail.com or message us on any of the social media platforms or our social media communities. And I will be able to answer you on the next episode. It could be your question. And even if I'm not able to answer you here directly, I'd make sure to answer you in the communities. And this is Sharon Alfred saying ciao. Take care.